of the things as far as the first of the year and all of the ideas about what you and I need to be doing, and we kind of work on some things, if you will, as far as our Christian lives. And I want us to look at this morning, you know, we've talked about praying and having a testimony, all those kind of things. But today I want us to look, if you will, in the 149th Psalm, Psalm number 149, very next to the last one. There's 150, obviously. 149th one. And you know, when you get into the last few of those Psalms, it is all, well, really, in the Hebrew, it is hallelujah. Or it says, praise ye the Lord in the very beginning and in the very ending of those Psalms. You'll see that same repetitive phrase where you see in 146, 147, 148, 149, 150. And they're all Psalms about praise. And they all have the idea of worship. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is our worship. How is our worship? And, you know, you've got those Psalms written there that are given to, the children of God and, you know, different ones of them. We don't know necessarily, these are not titled necessarily who wrote them, but we do know that they were written and that they were used as a song during the worship time. So let's look, if you will, at Psalm number 149, just, nine little short verses. So look with me, if you will. It starts out, it says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for this day and time of worship. And I pray that our hearts would be attuned to that. And I pray that we'd just be looking to you and expecting from you and ready to just give glory and praise and worship to you. And I pray, God, you just speak to our hearts today. And maybe if there's somebody here and they need salvation, would you please draw them by that precious Holy Spirit? The rest of us just tune our hearts up and allow us to realize that we're just here to worship and glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. And again, we'll just give you thanks for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I know that, as I say, you look at these last few Psalms and you see that repetitive theme of praise ye the Lord. And throughout these few little psalms at 146 through 150, the psalmist writes, you know, there's a lot of things that are involved in that praise of the Lord. But it just seems like when you read this 149th one, that it really just jumps out at you and says, hey, here it is. And man, you ought to be praising the Lord. And in that thought and in that idea, hey, there is that entire circle of worship that's mentioned here in a lot of things that we should be doing in our worship. That's what I want you to look with me this morning as we look at this and we'll just ask that question. How is your worship? How is your worship? How's your worship going? You know, I got to think about this morning. My brother Ronnie was in Sunday school talking about something and got on the idea of how churches and people do things and you know, like religious groups, Protestants and Catholics and all that stuff. And I began to think about, I just had this little thought that run through there is that I don't believe that all of us, and I mean, let's say particularly churches, worship the same. You can go to some churches And they're worshiping, but it may not be loud. They're worshiping, and it may not seem like it is at another place. And sometimes it seems like one of them is way over here, and maybe they're heavily involved in the singing part. And another church is over here, and they're involved more in the ministering part of their body, going out and doing things. And they, you know, there's churches that are doing their worship, as we would say worship, in a lot of different ways. And, you know, there's folks who will criticize that and say, well, they don't worship like we do. Well, I want to tell you something. Take this Bible and tell me where it says you've got to have an A, B, C, D type of worship. Now, I do agree. I do understand that my Bible tells me that God is a spirit over in John chapter number 4. And those that are going to worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But do you know that's all that Jesus really emphasized as far as our worship? And the reason that that emphasis came was because there was a lady there, and she said, well, you know, our fathers are worship here in this mountain, and we say you ought to do it like this. And you say down there at Jerusalem, the people are blah, 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 blah. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, he said, the time is coming. He said, matter of fact, now is when neither here nor there will God seek folks to worship it. Because God's a spirit. God's wanting some spiritual worship out of some spiritual people. And today we've got so half-hearted in our worship. I mean, well, preacher, I went to church, and I guess I worship. You ought to know if you worshiped or not. I guarantee you, been sometimes I went and I wasn't real sure either. Amen. And you know whose fault that was? Mine. Wasn't anybody else's. But I'll tell you, my idea, my heart, my thought, my want is to come this way and worship the Lord. And you see what the psalmist here has written. He said, praise ye the Lord. I mean, he's been saying that. And some of those things where he's been saying it, he's been giving some other little indicators and thoughts about worship. But I just want you to look at this 149th Psalm, and let's just see, man, let's just get our worship on. Amen, if you will today. How is your worship? So, first of all, I think when you're looking at this, and I want you to look here with me, if you will, in these first couple of verses, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think on this idea about you ought to, and we all ought to, worship knowingly. Worship knowingly. In other words, you ought to have some knowledge built into your worship. Listen to what he said in verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. He says, you ought to worship knowing who you're going to worship. Amen. I mean, that's what he's saying. When you get ready to worship, you ought to worship knowingly. It ought to be a knowing worship. It's not some vagary. It's not somebody way out there in the stars and beyond the blue and all that kind of goulash. Brother, I'm worshiping the Lord God of heaven. Amen. Oh, I've heard people pray some prayers, and they prayed to the great spirit out there somewhere, you know, all that mess. Hey, I'm telling you, I want to know, and I want to know more perfectly. I want to know more intimately. I want to know with a better knowledge. I want to know who I'm worshiping. Amen? I mean, you ought to worship, and I say, you ought to do it knowingly. I mean, you ought to know. Can I tell you, when you know, when you understand you're worshiping the God of heaven, let me tell you, you can do that, and you will do that with some joy. Do you see that? He said, look, verse number 2, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. When you know that you're worshiping God, you do it with some joyful worship. You can have some joy in it. Can I tell you, we come in here like we're big sticks in the mud, and we're like, okay, preacher, you see if you can bless me now. Let me just tell you something. You ought to come in here ready to worship God. I don't have to do anything to you. I ought not have to do it. Hey, you ought to come in, say, preacher, I'm so full of the joy of the Lord, I don't know what to do with myself. Amen. There ought to be some joy. You ought to sing with joy. Amen. I mean, you go and sing. It starts out there in verse number 1. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation. You ought to sing with a new song, and you ought to sing in the whole congregation. Hey, let me tell you, we need to do this thing with some joy. Have you got some joy in your worship? Well, I'd hate to go out these doors and say, well, I think we went to church today. Just looking around, you're not sure. I want to go out and say the joy of God is in my heart, and I enjoyed the worship. I had given it my joy. He gave me his joy, and together we rejoiced in the Lord. Amen? I mean, we ought to have some joy when we get together. Do it knowingly. But let me tell you, not only that you, when you do that knowingly, that it'll be with joy, it will be a joint effort. You'll be joining together. Do you see this? And I think this is where we miss it a lot of times. It says, let Israel rejoice. And then it says, let the children of Zion. I mean, he didn't say, now, let the men, let the preacher men, let the elder men, let the knowing and wise men, and those that have studied. He didn't say any of that. He said, everybody get together and praise God. Amen? I mean, it doesn't exclude anybody. We're to worship him together. I mean, a fellow that's standing there that's got the THD degree and the other one that's got 98.6 degrees, a temperature, brother, amen. Hey, they can worship God together. I mean, it don't take nothing special to worship God. I mean, you got to be saved. You got to know him. And that's what I'm saying. Let's do it knowingly. And if you do it knowingly, you can do it together, amen. We can come into this place and we can worship God. Guess what? I can worship with the women. I can worship with the men. I can worship with the young. I can worship with the old. I can worship with the poor. I can worship with the rich. I can worship with the knowing. I can worship with those that don't know so much about their Bible. Thank God we can just all get together and worship. Amen. Because see, there are no parameters. There are no exactities on those kind of things. Brother, you just need to know that you know him. That you know him. Listen, you ought to do it, as I say, with some joy. You ought to do it while you're joining together. But let me tell you, you ought to do this with some jealousy. He says you're worshiping. You should be worshiping and singing. He says, unto the Lord. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He said, you should be doing this. We're doing this for his praise. We're doing this being joyful in our King. I mean, he's saying those things. This is a jealous kind of worship. You know what God said? He said, I don't want you to have any other images. I don't want you to have any other gods. When he was telling Moses, he said, you give the children of Israel these commandments. And one of the first ones is, I am the Lord your God, and there's to be no other gods before me. He said, I'm a jealous God. You and I ought to be jealous and zealous in our worship of him. I mean, I didn't come down here to worship whoever they do over to Muslim bunch. I didn't come over here to worry about what the Hindus and whatever. I come to worship the Lord God of heaven. And that's where my worship is going to be centered. And that's who my worship's going to be on. Listen, I'm here to tell y'all, I'm not ashamed of the name Jesus. Are you? Jesus saved me. Jesus died for me. Jesus wrote my name in heaven. Jesus done some things for me none of that other crowd could ever do. Amen? So my worship is going to be on him. I'm not worshiping the Baptist church. I'm not worshiping the Baptist doctrine. I'm not worshiping the Baptist foundational truths, brother. I'm worshiping Jesus. Hallelujah. Come over here to worship him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to speak of him. I'm going to sing of him. I'm going to rejoice in him because he's my Savior and my King. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about worshiping in a knowing kind of way. He said, you ought to worship knowingly. But not only does he say you ought to worship knowingly, but I believe if you look in them those next two verses, verses 3 and 4, he said, let them praise his name in the dance. Don't y'all get too excited right there. I know we're Baptists, okay? Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, he's saying, look, you ought to worship. When you do, you ought to do it fervently. You ought to do it knowingly, but you ought to do it fervently. What does that mean? You ought to do it with all you got. I mean, with everything that is in you. David said in one of his Psalms writings, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He said, hey, I'm going to praise the Lord with everything I've got. With everything. You ought to do it fervently. The idea behind fervency, and if you see that word in your Bible, zeal or zealous, it has to do with heat and with fervency. Y'all do it like you're on fire for God, amen. Do your worship with some fervency. Now, does that mean you got to shout, hoop, holler, and run laps and all that? No, but there better be something burning down on the inside of you while you're worshiping God. There ought to be something that gets stirred over on the inside. You ever been there where you just got the can't help it? I mean, where you just like, whoo, I just don't know about this, y'all. Something about to happen. Amen? When you're worshiping God, you know what happened to Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, I got so mad, got so upset, got so discouraged and defeated that I said, I'll not preach another word out of that book. But he said, I sat down. He said, and as I sat there, he said, something happened. He said, there was a fire in my bones that said, yeah, you going to preach and get up and do it. Amen. Huh? That's the same way that you and I ought to be about our worship. I mean, you just can't sit there. I can't help it. We were somewhere. I can't remember where it was. We were somewhere, and somebody was singing, and Lord, help everybody. I was about to start singing with them. And Lynn looked up at me and she kind of tapped my hand like, shut up, don't. And I'm like, I just about can't. I can't help myself sometimes. Amen? I mean, you know, I'm just telling you, it just gets good. Amen? I mean, and I'm just saying, well, yeah, sometimes it is there and you just cannot help yourself to get involved in the worship. Amen? Oh, some of the funniest times, I guess, are at funerals. Because people get so quiet at funerals. And if you ever say, amen, look around at what in the world was that? And, you know, there are some churches like that. You say, amen, they send the doctor over to see what's wrong with you. Amen? I mean, they just don't know what's wrong. What's wrong with him? What's he doing? We don't do that here. I know, that's why I'm doing it, because you ain't. Amen. Huh? I'm just telling you, friend, there ought to be some fervency in our worship. You see what he says? He says, as I said, don't y'all get excited. He talked about dancing. He said, you worship God when you dance. Now, I want to tell you, some things are inappropriate, and I know a lot of the dancing and that kind of stuff, there's a lot of that that is suggestive and inappropriate. But if you remember when David came back with the Ark of God, he danced. Now, he wasn't, you know, ballroom dancing and all that kind of stuff. He was out there kicking them legs and shouting and having himself a time because of what the Lord had done. Amen? I mean, man, he got excited about what God had done and that they had the Ark of God back. In other words, what I'm saying is sometimes you ought to do your worship with some adoration toward God. What you're doing ought to show God that you love him. God, we love you and we want to worship you. Amen? I mean, seriously, that's the way that our worship is to be turned. It's to be turned. I remember the first time that Brother Bagwell did that here in the church. It just kind of tickled me. But I remember he was preaching along. You know, he's out here running up and down the aisle. And he got talking about loving Jesus. And he said, Lord, I love you. He just kissed and thought. He said, well, I'll just throw him some kisses up to heaven. Now, that seems silly, doesn't it, almost? But I'm telling you, that's what we all do. We all say, I love you. Amen. Don't y'all just have an absolute back bending? I mean, want to flip, want to run, want to have a hallelujah time. Your grandbaby looks at you and they kiss their lips and they throw you a kiss and you're over there grabbing them all and you think that's the grandest thing in the world. Can you imagine? Woo! Jesus sends you something down from heaven and he's a loving on you and you just love him back. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there ought to be some adoration for him in our worship. Amen. Not only that, there ought to be some action in our worship. I believe there ought to be some action. You say, well, I'm just going to sit here stone. Okay, you go ahead. But there ought to be some action in the worship. I mean, there was here. What did he say? He said, y'all just dance and worship God. He said, get out your timbrel. You know what a timbrel is, basically? Just a tambourine. You get that out, and you start a shaking and a worshiping God. Woo! He said, get that harp out. I don't know if I can do that or not, but hey, let me just say, he said, there ought to be some action in this thing when you get ready to worship God. Amen? Look at that next little verse there in verse number 4, and notice some of the things that the writer says here. He says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. God is honored, and God loves it when we worship him. Amen? Why, you'd drive 150 miles. How you know, preacher? Because I've done it. To see your kids or your grandkids go out there and hit a baseball or run a football down the field or be in some little program at their school or whatever. You go out there and they get it through your clap in your hand. Woo, it's the best one I've ever seen in my life. Wow, hallelujah. Amen? Can you imagine that God the Father is looking on his children, and you and I worship in our week and our ways that are not anywhere near his, and God is honored for me and you to worship him. Amen. Woo, can you imagine that? I mean, isn't that what he said? He said, look, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Don't you sit there and take pleasure when your kid, your grandkids are doing whatever they're doing, and you just get excited. You look over at your neighbor and say, boy, my grandyoungin sung better than yours because out of that whole choir, I heard him. Amen. You know, I mean, we do that, don't we? Boy, I like it when God says, can you hear my children down there? They're praising me and they're loving me and they're worshiping me. Amen. But then look at the second part of that verse. It says that the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, for he will beautify the meek with salvation. What does that mean? That means he looks upon us and he just kind of clothes us in what he's got. And he makes us beautiful in his salvation. Hey, man. Hey, I'm beautiful, y'all. Maybe not to you, but I am to him. And you are the same. You're beautiful to him. If you're saved, he will beautify. It says the meek. Those that, you know, you've got people, they'll get into worship and they might not be boisterous and loud and run and shout and holler and do, but man, if they're worshiping God, he's beautifying them because they are saved. Because they are his. He is putting some special way of clothing upon them. I mean, he bestows something that he puts upon those that are his. When he dresses you up, thank God you're the finest thing he's ever seen. Amen. Boy, isn't that wonderful to know? Amen. So, you're to worship knowingly. You're to worship fervently. But let me tell you this. Look in verse number 5. You're to worship gloriously. Look in verse number 5 and 6. He says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their bed. Let the high places of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Hey, can I tell you, when you get ready to worship, you ought to worship gloriously. I mean, look what he says there in verse number 5 in the beginning. He said, let the saints be joyful in their glory. Do you realize that glory, we're glorifying the Lord. Glory in the Lord. You be joyful in that. Give God some glory. And you know what we're supposed to do? I mean, in our delight, in the way that we delight in him, We are doing it in a glorious fashion. Worship gloriously. I mean, there again, we talk about there should be joy, there should be activity, there should be all that, but there ought to be some delight in it. When you come to worship, you ought to be delighted to be a participant and part of the body of Christ that gets to worship the Lord. Amen? You ought to count it a privilege. You ought to say, God, I'm not worthy to be here. I am not anything in your sight, but I sure am glad that I get to come in and worship the Lord. I'm so thankful that I get to be part of the body that is going to sing that new song in heaven one of these days. Amen? I'm going to worship him. But I'm going to get a little practice while I'm down here. I'm going to start out in a little practice way. But then I want you to notice what else he says. We ought to do it delightfully. There ought to be some delight when you're doing it in a glorious way. There ought to be some delight. But let me tell you, he said, you also ought to be doing it when things are the darkest. You notice he said that we ought to be worshiping and glorifying and praising him in your bed, on your bed. He said they do it on their beds, in the dark, when nobody else is around, when things might be tough, when it's that season where it seems like there's no one else there, when it seems like things are the darkest, gloomiest, most midnightish in your life. But you know what you can do? You can look up and say, hallelujah, I'm still his. He's still mine, and I'm going to glory in the Lord. There's old Job over there. His wife said, won't you just curse God and die? Look at what all's happened to you. Lost everything you got. Lost your kids. Lost your respect in the community. You've just lost everything, Job. And old Job looked at her and said, you speak as the foolish women speak. He said, should we just get good stuff from God and not bad stuff? He said, nope. Thank God he just looked at it. He said, Lord's given, Lord's taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. In his darkest time, you know what he did? He just blessed the Lord. And he said, in all of this, Job charged not God foolishly, nor sinned with his mouth. Amen. What I'm telling you is, buddy, y'all just get your praise and your worship on. You say, preacher, it's a bad day. Thank God, just worship him anyway. Things ain't going the way. Yeah, go ahead and worship him anyhow. Amen. I mean, just go ahead. Amen. Praise him. I told you, there was some days here when I'd go out, and I didn't really understand this when I was a lot younger. And Brother Ralph Watts sat here, well, probably behind where Brother Donnie sat, and he sat there. And Brother Bill Castile, he was, you know, sitting wherever here. And when church is over, them two would meet back there at the back door shaking hands like everybody does. And old Brother Bill Castile would look at Ralph, and he'd say, praise God anyhow. And Brother Ralph say, amen. What do you mean? Because things weren't perfect as far as health. Things weren't perfect as far as maybe the way they felt. Things weren't perfect as far as, you know, these old bones and these old bodies and all this is in a different state of working. Praise God anyhow. Had some bad days and rough days. Praise God anyhow. As I laying on the bed and I said, whoop, thank God anyhow. Amen. I know I probably told y'all this story before, but my father-in-law's mom was in the hospital out at Tri-County. And this was probably in, I guess, 79 or 80, somewhere along in there. And I worked in the pharmacy in the hospital. So we could kind of have the run of the hospital. And if anyone needed to do something. Well, she was in the ICU unit. And she had cirrhosis of the liver. Never drank a drop in her life, but she contracted it through a blood transfusion or something. She had cirrhosis, and she was dying. She's in pretty bad shape. She's in the ICU, and I thought, well, I'm going to go up there and check on her. We all went to church together, and, you know, I just want to go check on her. And it was my father-in-law's mom. I went up there, and as I got close to the door, one of the nurses I knew come out, and I mean, there's tears running down her eyes, and I stopped her, and I said, oh, no. I said, what's happened? She said, nothing. And I said, well, why are you crying? What's wrong? She said, I can't believe that little old woman's in there laying in that bed about to die. And she's raising up her hand and thanking God for being so good to her. I said, woo, that's her. And that's him. Amen. Can I tell you, you can do that when you know him and you have that walk with him. Amen. I'm just telling you, you ought to worship gloriously. You ought to glorify him. You ought to worship in the glory of him. When it's good news and when it's bad news, when it's a delightful time and when it's dark days, you ought to be glorifying him. And sometimes you ought to just worship gloriously when you got to defend yourself. You see what he said there in verse number 6? He said that they let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Sometimes you got to go on the defense, but you can shout God, hallelujah, that he's got you in a place where you can get in. Where you can get in a fight, get in a battle, get through, and he's there. Amen. Look at one last thing with me, if you will. Let's talk about this in these last few verses. We worship gloriously, but I'm telling you, we ought to worship triumphantly. There ought to be some triumph. There ought to be some victory. I mean, something over in our life. Because realize this. According to verses 6 and 7, he said, let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Verse 7, he said, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. First of all, let me just tell you this. Hey, you can worship triumphantly because, first of all, realize you've got a foe. You've got a foe. There is somebody out there fighting against you. I mean, you're going to be in some battle. You're going to be there. You've got a foe. Let me tell you, not only that, I mean, there's a fight. there's a fight that's going on. There are those that are against you, and brother, you're in a fight. Paul said this. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wicked, against some powers and principalities, those things in some high places. We're fighting a fight, y'all. But you know what? Even during that battle time, you can still praise and worship God. Because of who he is. Amen? I mean, you can still worship and thank God for him. But let me just tell you this. When you look at it, it says in verse number 8, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. He said, this honor have all of his saints. One of these days, it's going to come to a finality. There's going to be an end to all of this. And we will be in a place of triumph. You know what that means? You worship now knowing where the end is. Preacher, I'm in the middle of a battle. It's going to end and you're going to win. Oh, I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm in this situation. Yeah, but can I tell you, hey, you're still a victor. Amen. Paul said, we're more than overcomers through him that loved us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that today? That you can worship. You can worship in all, and we ought to worship in all these ways. We ought to worship knowingly. We ought to worship fervently. We ought to have a fervor and a zeal. And we ought to worship gloriously. And then we ought to worship triumphantly. And victoriously. You're going to have a victory. I mean, sometimes it don't look like it. Sometimes it looks ugly, doesn't it? You ever just want to just go get a baseball bat and hit the TV sometimes when you turn on the news? Amen? I heard a preacher say one time, you know where the Bible says that Paul wrote to Timothy and said this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He said, y'all want to know what the definition of perilous times? He said, perilous times could be those days when you're out and about and you could go over and gladly kick over a tombstone down at the graveyard. I mean, you're just so aggravated with this world. You could just get upset over some things. Amen? But can I tell you, Jesus is still victorious. He told John, he said, I am victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He said, and I got the keys right here. Oh, Brother Berman Cape used to preach, and he'd say, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house. Amen? Jesus has got them. Aren't you glad we've got that kind of victory? And because of that, you and I ought to be able to worship. As the the psalmist said here, praise ye the Lord. I mean, sing that new song. Shout the victory. I mean, if you got to dance and play a little tambourine or what, shout her out and have a good time. Because you realize the victory already belongs to me and you. How's your worship this morning? Amen. You can worship because of who he is. You can worship because of who he is as far as who he is, who he is you as a savior, who he is to you as a redeemer, who he is to you as the one that takes care of you daily, who he is to you as the one that has written your name down, who he is to you because he's coming for you one day soon. Amen? He's going to take care of you, and because of who he is, we can worship him. How's your worship today? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song. If you would, hey, can you really, truly, and are you really, truly worshiping the Lord as you ought to? Let's stand, if you would, this morning while we get prepared and get ready to sing this song of invitation. If you need to come, if you need to pray, if you need to just ask God, just do something, whatever it may be, you just come on and let's just worship him. Amen? God's got something this morning just for you that he's wanting to do in your heart and in your life. And maybe God's just working on you, intentionally working on your heart and life. So you would see that you need to worship him. Can I tell you, there's people throughout the Bible that didn't. I mean, they started out poorly. But buddy, they figured it out. And God come to them. And you know what? Then they could get in on the worship. And it became real to them. It became something to them. You know, we've been studying Paul over in the book of Acts. Paul thought he worshiped God as he was a Pharisee and as he was of the tribe of Benjamin, as he was a Jew. You know, he really thought he was worshiping God. But you know, when he found it out, when God knocked him down out there on the road to Damascus, and from that day forward, he really knew what it was to worship the Lord of heaven. Why are we singing? Why are we going to sing, Brother?
169.
You need to come pray about something. Come on, why?